Good morning, everyone. This is Chandradasa from the Buddhist Centre Online team and from Portsmouth Buddhist Centre here in New Hampshire in the USA. And we are on day two of our podcast extravaganza on loving kindness. Straight after meditation, folks, which is, I tell you, it's quite something. We've all just finished our Metta Bhavana practice this morning together at the Buddhist Centre. And with the focus on the second stage. And the same gallant crew as yesterday. We have Betty and Bob and Kathy. Good morning, everybody.
Good morning.
Good morning. Good morning.
And I thought we'd go straight into today. I realised one thing we didn't talk about yesterday in the midst of a very engaging talk was concrete things. This aspect of intentionality and doing something concrete to take the practice out of the shrine room. And into your life. So, I mean, if you're up for it, so we could certainly review what we did, how that worked out for us yesterday in terms of concrete things, and then anything concrete from today that you might be willing to share. Of course, don't feel obliged to share, but I'm an inveterate shader, so I might share. And of course, anything else that's come up for you today from the practice is fair game, or from the retreat as a whole, if you're doing the retreat.
Well, in terms of the concrete, this is not something that came up in meditation yesterday, but then I went home and listened to Vasantra's talk. And one of the things he said that I have carried with me during the day and into today was the just relax. I mean, which in a way is such a simple thing, but also such a difficult thing. And I think he was saying it in terms of allowing yourself to open to what positive feelings are already inside. And then today, his talk started with talking about seeing people walk around sort of in a bubble of self-absorption. And I feel like, for me, a lot of that self-absorption is an experience of tension, you know, kind of, I guess, thinking things over, focusing, analyzing, worrying, whatever that might be, and that this whole thing about relaxing and letting other people in, letting feelings in, letting other experiences in is something that, well, one of the great things he said about the Metta Bhavana was that you break out of this bubble by letting other people into your awareness when you go through these stages. And so I just would like to hold that as an intention for trying to more consciously relax and let other people and other experiences in.
It's interesting, that thing about analysing and thinking. And I remember being on a thing with Vasantra just when he got back from his long retreat, and he was saying a big thing that came up was, you've always got a project. You've always got a project, even a dharmic project. You know, you've always got something going on that is you doing a bunch of things and managing all that and manoeuvring and organising even the reality of a small retreat hut that you're going to live in for 3 years, you know. And this interesting thing is, the person who was doing meditation interviews with him during his long retreat kept saying to him, you just have to let all that go, you just have to, you know, relax away from that. And this kind of sort of furious process of thinking, what does that even mean? How do you go through without the narrative, without the constructed experience going on, you know, very interesting.
Yeah, and there is tension in that, you know, constantly thinking about how you're managing whatever it may be. And then one can imagine the feeling of just relaxing, how different that would be. I think I can imagine it. Sometimes it happens.
I can imagine it based on little experiences of doing it, not necessarily big ones, but like yesterday, my concrete intention when I left after we did the podcast was try and look after yourself a bit. Been a very long weekend, lots of work on the urban retreat, trying to get it all together, and I was underslept and tetchy and all that stuff. And I noticed all day, I just found it really difficult to relax away from that, because there's so much to do and you get a deluge of things coming in, all these people around the world doing this thing. And I did manage to at least stick to some part of the concrete thing. I did take organized breaks and made myself go for a walk and stopped when I said I would stop in the evening and did some good things. Watched Grease, which for some reason I've been wanting to do for weeks. And we sang away. We sang along with the film and it felt really good to sing. And then I had a really nice hot bath. And so I did look after myself a bit. But I realised how much, in a way, this is a good project to do, but I'm carrying it and I'm all wound up with it sometimes and it's tense and it's like personal. You know, there's some that I can feel the personal investment in it that isn't actually particularly helpful to anybody, let alone me. So very interesting to kind of relax a little bit away from that and then feel the scale of the big problem in a way, or the big issue behind it, which is that's going on a massive scale, like right across life. Mm. Very interesting.
Mm-hmm. Sometimes when you are engaged in projects like that and following so many details, you feel the most alive, or at least what some of us have defined as being alive. That tingle, that tension, that, you know, what makes Western music different from Eastern music. I mean, it's... I don't think there's anything wrong with that feeling. It's when it begins to define you as who you are that I think then you have a problem, more problem with it. We were talking about letting more people in. Yesterday was nonstop people for me. I left here and went to a 25-person yoga class and then coffee with a friend and then collected seaweed with another friend and then had lunch with her and yet another friend. And then cracked walnuts, and then went over. I don't even know what I did for dinner. That's how conscious I am of yesterday. Oh yeah, went to a potluck for dinner
with more people.
And then went over to a friend's house to watch the JFK show on PBS, and didn't get enough sleep, but realized the day was too many people, letting too much in, and that tends to be my challenge.
It's hard to do meta, isn't it, when your conditions start to fray at the edges. It's like it's easier to be snappy, it's easy to not feel open if you get tired and you get... I think that's when I overinvest in terms of what you were saying, Kathy. Like, at one point the project felt great at the weekend. Yeah, it's exciting, all these people are signing up all over the world, people in China and all that stuff. And then suddenly you're like why does this start to feel more intense or painful? Where's the dukkha in it? Where's the suffering in it? You know, I can look back to the overinvestment. I can then look at my conditions. I can look at not getting enough sleep, too many hours looking at a screen, not moving my body, all those kind of things. Mm-hmm. And just on that basic level, like, meta needs conditions. Like, I mean, why do I keep forgetting that? After all these years, meta needs conditions. I need time on my own, actually, just... A day like yesterday would have stretched me, like, oh, people all the time, all day.
Metta needs conditions, is that what you said?
Yeah.
Can you explain that more?
Well, in the sense that it doesn't, it's like if you're going to cultivate loving kindness, you need to be in a good mental state where you're capable of sustaining that. It's not just there as a kind of entity glowing away. I mean, one could relate to it metaphorically like that, but I think it's something you do. And if I get frayed at the edges, it's harder for me to keep making the mental effort to not react, to try and remain open, to let people in. Being realistic, there's certain things I probably need. Anybody else have that experience? There are certain things you need
absolutely.
To be...
Absolutely. I think I need solitude, but I also need the interaction of friends. Mm. But I'm kind of an introvert, so, you know, I can take a certain amount of that, and then I need to have time on my own. And actually, I like to have quite a bit of time on my own, so that's a condition. And everything you said, I mean, taking physical care and laughing and all of that to be in a positive space. I found that when I got to the last stage and I started thinking about extending metta to the world, I went to the people in the Philippines suffering from the... And then that got me caught up in the politics of climate change, and that was kind of over for me. So I don't, you know, there's also a sort of the guarding the gates of the senses aspect of it, I think, that, I mean, obviously you have to let something like that in to an extent, or you lose empathy for other people, but it can be so overwhelming. And so that's also part of the conditions for me, is not allowing myself to get caught up in the deluge of information we have about bad things happening in the world.
Mm.
So I don't know.
The deluge of information generally, actually, even good things happening in the world,
yeah,
is like,
yeah,
that whole thing of
right
constant input.
Yeah.
The Buddha does talk about that, doesn't he? Guarding the gates of your senses.
That was one reason I left a city a long time ago.
Yeah.
I had no guards on my senses in cities. They're just set up for overload.
Yeah. So. Hmm. Yeah, I definitely feel that when I visit my daughter and her family in Brooklyn.
Mm.
And the energy level required to live in a city like that, and how it's generated by having so much to do and so much going on and so many people. Feels quite different.
And concrete things from today? Anybody have any concrete things in relation to the good friend, the kind of the supposedly easy stage of the practice?
I'm probably going to keep the good friend in mind all day. When we meditated, I only did one stage, the good friend, and twisted and turned, and any way I could think of. You know, and how does a good friend look at me, and what do he have to say to me, and try to turn all that around? So I'll spend the rest of the day probably, well, I'll attempt to spend the rest of the day with my good friend in mind. Yeah.
Hmm.
And with that, I need to leave.
Hey, see you tomorrow.
Yep,
thank you.
Goodbye. Have a good day.
Good day.
I spent the whole time on a good friend, too. Intend to call her. So that's, she's down in Cambridge. So I'll give her a call, find out how she is. But it's, I ended up in historical perspective, just, let's see, I remember when I met her, etc. And, you know, and there was this incident, and this time, and that time, and this time. And then, for some reason, because you never have a friendship out of context, you know, my mind was leaping to an extremely difficult person who was integral to my life at the time. So it's like, if I figured out the monkey mind is because there's so many branches. So of course you're swinging from branch to branch. It isn't the chatter, it's the motion. It's chatter too, I guess. But.
Well, I liked your, you know, the thing you said before we sat about the good friend and the idea of standing close together.
Yeah,
that was a nice visual for me, and it actually helped with all four. The idea of standing shoulder to shoulder. Well, the other thing in relation to my comment about the storm and the climate change was, in the end, I got back to sort of a positive place by imagining all living things just sort of clinging to this little shell of the earth as the conditions change.
Mm.
And trying to sort of hold on together.
Yeah.
So the idea of, you know, all being in it together, I liked that. And the solidity that gives you as a grounding kind of a thing.
Mm. As long as you can keep on clinging on.
Yeah.
Relax.
Yeah.
Trust gravity.
That's right, trust gravity, that's good. I was a bit like, I think I was aware of the mixedness of friendship quite a lot. The person who came to mind, actually it was the person who came to mind quite a lot when I first started doing the practice a good 20 years ago, because we were much closer friends. And it's very interesting kind of holding an awareness of him, and also feeling a certain kind of the sense of how we've become a bit more attenuated as friends. And yet there is this strong, deep connection. And I suppose the concrete thing was just trying to take that a bit more seriously or something when I go away, and figure out, well, what can be done in the context of the friendship that's there. And then suddenly out of nowhere I remembered that an even older friend, actually from school, from high school, who I reconnected with last year, I'd promised I'd write her a letter. She said, nobody ever writes me paper letters anymore. I said, I'll write you a paper letter. And then I didn't. So I'm going to write Emma McDonald, wherever you are, I'm going to write you a paper letter, as promised. And
that's great.
That would be a nice way to engage with.
So you move from friend to friend. That's good.
She just popped up at the end, actually. It was a conscience or something. I kind of thought, that was remiss.
Yeah, I also ended up thinking about how I needed to call this good friend I was thinking about. So I guess we were
all into the shits.
Yeah.
Huh?
Yeah.
isn't that the beauty of doing it first thing in the morning? Like, I almost certainly wouldn't have thought about either.
Could you expand your day's list?
Well, at least, I suppose, well, just more like open. Catching up with my intentionality or. Yeah, I mean, I just wouldn't, even if I'd sat down to meditate, I might not have done that practice, and there's something about, those two people are now firmly lodged right at the start of my day, and I'll have a busy day, and I may not do one thing or the other thing, but there's quite something about just, there's a door into consciousness in a certain kind of way. Any last thoughts to share with the universe?
No. Be well.
Yes, be well, everybody. And we'll see you again tomorrow for another podcast. Hope your urban retreat is going well. Hope it continues to go well. And we'll see you tomorrow.